Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, April 27, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well as we gear up for another week of Yankee baseball. And, of course, they're playing well lately. Eight out of the last nine games, they have won. Of course, dropped the series finale yesterday in Houston. But that's all well and good. We'll touch on Luis Gil, who, of course, was sent down to AAA yesterday following Sunday's start. But, yo, good to see everybody here today. Hope everybody is doing fantastic to start this beautiful Monday morning. Now, if you see, a couple things off the top here. Well, first things first, we're now on the main channel. For those that haven't seen this show yet, the Morning Yankee Show, I started this up a couple months back, on a separate channel. Initially, it was Yankees Avenue Live, but then I kept doing the watch parties on the main channel. I didn't really know why I kept doing the Morning Yankee Show all the way on another channel. So now we're all consolidated here. Morning Yankees will be on the Yankees Avenue channel, as are the watch parties, game highlights, and everything else we do here. So, yo, good to see everybody on here. And if you notice, we have a nice new news format going. Now, we'll see if this sticks. Because it's very much, I mean, talk about a morning show. How's it look, Chet? How's it look? We'll get into that in just a moment. We got a lot to break down here. But anyways, if you could leave a like on the stream, subscribe. All this and that. Of course, the Yankees are starting a three-game set against the Rangers tonight to conclude a nine-game road trip. And we'll be live for that game later on. But we got a bunch of news to get to. We probably should start off with Jason Dominguez. I mean, this is kind of two topics combined into one, because in all likelihood, this means Giancarlo Stanton is going on the injured list. Had his calf strain the other day, which he said he was already feeling better Saturday. It happened on Friday. So he was feeling better on Saturday. Yankees still had not made a roster move come the series finale in Houston. They still have not made a roster move as we speak right now, which, as you see in the top left corner, it is 8:03 a.m. Eastern time. But with Jason being called up, you assume Stan is almost certainly going on the IL. Now, this is very interesting because, one, I'll tell you, this is the most excited call-up I've had, or that Jason has had, for me, the most excited I've been about his call-up, because if he does get run here, which as long as he's up, he will get run. And the Yankees are facing three righties against Texas. You're facing, Jack Leiter tonight, Jacob deGrom in game two, Nathan Eovaldi in game three. So some pretty legit pitchers Yankees will be going up against in Texas. Three righties, of course. Jason, while he's up, should be starting every single one of these games at DH, and I believe he will be. What's going to be interesting, though, is, one, how long is Stanton going to be out for? Because this calf strain, you know, we saw cross town with the Mets, Juan Soto, he missed like, what, 2.5, 3 weeks? And then Lindor, that he has the same injury, a calf strain, which again, not official yet. Like, I don't think Stanton, the MRI reports are out just yet, but I assume that's why Jason's up, because he underwent one yesterday. We're still waiting on the official news, but assume this is a legitimate calf strain. You compare it to Soto, who missed 2.5, 3 weeks. We can also compare it to Lindor, who they're saying may miss like into June. So it could be a little while without Giancarlo Stanton. And they really should take their time with him, because this isn't a big deal. And in fact, it actually excites me, because this is something that we talked about so much going into the year about the depth that the Yankees have, whether we're talking in the pitching department or in this case, the lineup and the depth at DH. The second Stanton goes down, well, you just slot Jason in automatically against righties at DH, and then against lefties, you can DH Goldschmidt. That is still going to be the plan. Although, what's interesting and something to note that's very exciting is Jason's season down at AAA, he's been hitting the ball very well. Now, well, these are his stats from last year, but in 24 games at AAA this year, hitting .326, .415 on base with three homers. I believe I have his minor league video too, do I not? Yes, I do. Hold on, here we go. So the minors this year, yeah, he's hitting .326. He's been raking, .893 OPS. But notably, he's 7-for-18 against left-handers in AAA. That's a .389 average. He's hitting the ball very well from both sides, both from the left and the right side. So he has been terrific down in AAA. And what's exciting about this is, obviously I don't know, but if I were to talk as if I do know, I think he's going to rake. He's going to hit. And the beauty of this is he's just going to be DHing. Now, the question again is, how long will he be getting run here? Because, of course, Stanton, no matter how long he's out, That plays a role in the immediate with him getting called up today, Jason. But we know Volpe's set to come back probably for Friday against Baltimore. Yanks have three against Texas, off day on Thursday. And then come Friday, that starts a stretch of 13 games in 13 days. Now, that gets you back into the conversation of, is Randall Grichuk going, or does that mean Jason's only up here for a few days? If Stan's going to be out until, let's just say, it could be 2 weeks, it could be a month, whatever the duration is, you call Jason up, Jason should stay up, and Jason should play every single day. Now, we'll have this conversation more down the road, but what if Jason goes off, and what if Jason rakes, which I think he will? Come Stanton's return, it could work out quite nicely as a whole with this unit where Stanton can still start at DH, and then think about a couple weeks back or random times where Boone has decided not to pinch run for Stanton because you want to get keep his bat in there in case you need him down the line in a tie game. And that has paid off where they didn't take Stanton out and they ended up needing his bat in the later innings. Well, with Jason, you could almost kind of look at it not as a platoon of the DH situation, but think playoffs where Stanton's starting at DH and he's the guy through whatever it is, a sixth or seventh inning, he gets on with a double. You don't have to worry too much about taking Stanton out of the game because you can just pinch run Jason, get his speed on the base paths, and then you have him hitting in the DH slot come his at-bat later on. So long-term, this could very much be the play where it's almost like a Stanton and Jason platoon at DH. That's way down the road, I know. He's up for now, though. He's up for now, and it's very exciting because I think he's going to hit. It's just a matter of, is he here for 3 days? Is he here for a couple months? We will see, but it's going to come down to Volpe's return on Friday. What's the roster move then? Because they could activate Volpe, send Jason down, and that would allow them to keep Randall Grichuk or keep J.C. Ascar on the roster, who we'll talk about briefly in just a moment. He played pretty damn well against Houston, actually started two out of the three games. But I don't think the Yankees are going to send Ascar down. They're going to want to keep the backup catcher. I don't think they want to lose Randall Grichuk, which, yo, let's be honest, Randall Grichuk is hitting a little bit lately. He's been swinging the bat well. So what exactly is going to happen here? Now, what's actually quite interesting about this whole thing with the Yankees bench, and I feel terrible saying this, we didn't need Paul Goldschmidt. Just looking at our bench, we did not need to sign Paul Goldschmidt. And I'm not, this is nothing about running it back or going at the Yankees. I supported that decision. In the end, it's just a bench bat and a one-year deal. There's no bad thing as a one-year deal. And Goldschmidt has had some big hits, whatever. It's something to do with that. I love Goldschmidt. But I wonder if there's a situation where if it ever were to arise where the Yankees come to that realization as well, like, yo, we don't really need Goldie. I get a little nervous because I don't think he's the type of guy that they would just, like, DFA. And the only issue I have with his roster spot is because he only plays first base. If he were to, you know, have some time capable of playing in the outfield, which obviously we know he doesn't, but, like, if there was more versatility to Goldschmidt, it would fit better, but you know, you don't want to lose Randall Grichuk because he's the guy that can play against lefties. And again, he's hitting the ball well lately, and he's an outfielder. And we know Grisham does not hit lefties, and the Yankees have not been shy about almost really implementing that as a strict platoon lately where it's, all right, against lefties, Grisham, you're going to be sitting on the bench. We're going to start Randall Grichuk. And I support that decision. Like, even when Grichuk wasn't hitting, it was a thing where, all right, I'm not looking forward to Grichuk playing, but I never look forward to Grisham playing against lefties. So if it's Grisham out, Grichuk in against the southpaw, in that case, I'm down. Anyways, we're getting off base here, but the bench is what this whole conversation revolves around because we know Volpe's coming up on Friday. Jason's here right now. Is it for 3 days or is it for the entire duration for however long Stanton is out for? Again, not official. Not official, but you got to assume that with the call-up of Jason Dominguez, that almost certainly means Stanton is going to the IL, which in regards to him, I don't think that's that big a deal. Now, again, it's really lets us like test our depth. If anything, it's exciting that, you know, we're set up for a situation like this to where we don't have to stress too much about Stanton going down. It's not like in years past where, you know, a Stanton injury means you have to sign JD Davis to a minor league deal and then slot him in at DH. Like, no, we have Jason Dominguez ready to go. And if we didn't have Jason, this may have been the chance for Spencer Jones to get some run. But all we know is for right now, no roster move yet, but Stanton's likely going to the injured list. Jason is up, and I think, slash, pretty much assume he will be starting all three games against Texas. And then to be honest, like, that might be the last we see of Jason after these 3 days, because it's going to be very, and we'll be live again before Friday's show. But that's the expectation, is Volpe will return following the series in Texas. So come Friday against Baltimore, we're probably seeing Anthony Volpe in his return. And we'll be talking about that in just a moment. It's been a crazy week of baseball. I'm seeing on my little news thing here on the bottom. By the way, the new layout, I'm a big fan of it. It has such like morning show vibes. It borderline looks like the Weather Channel. I was joking with Chloe last night. I'm like, man, I should have a traffic segment and like let you know the morning weather. It's I think it's 55 degrees out right now. It's going to be a high of 61. But I probably will tinker a little bit with the graphics as we go on here. But this is the start of the new thing we're doing here. Let me know if you like it. If not, I can go back to the old one. Or I'm always just touching up graphics. Same with baseball today. I just like doing it. So it's half my favorite thing about this, about doing Yanks Ave and all that, is like doing the graphics and getting everything all set up. So let me know how you feel about this. Anyways, Stanton likely the IL. Jason called up. The Jason part, that is official. We just don't have the official word yet on Stanton. Anyways, let's move on to our next thing here, which is going to get us into a larger conversation. But first, want to just discuss the bottom third, not even just the bottom third, the bottom four, the supplemental bats, Grichuk being one of them, really picking it up against Houston, and particularly Jazz. But let's just go through them all. As a whole, Caballero, McMahon, Wells, Ascara, and Jazz, which again, Ascara started two out of the three games against Houston, which I don't think we should read into that or nothing, but it is interesting. The Yankees are in the midst of a nine-game road trip and had been playing a lot of games early on, many off days, not so much lately. So, you know, you want to keep Wells fresh. Anyways, Caballero, McMahon, Wells, Ascara, and Jazz in the Houston series combined 19 for 49. That's a .388 average. And let's just run through some quick ones here because I want to talk about Jazz. McMahon, 4 for 13 with a homer and 3 RBIs. And he squared up a couple balls for outs, too, that were very hard hit. He looked much improved at the plate. Also, his defense is, not that you were ever worried about McMahon's defense, but early on, there were some hiccups here and there, per se, like the throws were looking a little funky, low. His defense has been back to, like, the best third baseman at baseball level, which is awesome. But, yeah, 4 for 13 in the Houston series with a homer, 3 ribs, hitting the ball much better. Small sample size, I know, but like that. Ranald Grichuk, we mentioned, starting to hit the ball a little better lately. Last 7 games for Ranald Grichuk, he's 6 for 18. That's a .333 batting average. Austin Wells, just the one game started, as we mentioned, but he had his second home run of the year. He went 2 for 3. And note on Austin Wells, by the way, I was not aware of this, and it doesn't excuse anybody hitting .188. Kind of applies to Trent Grisham as well, but got to give credit where it's due. Guys, did you know Austin Wells has a .338 on base percentage? Now, like, that is significant. Because one, the differential there, the ratio between, all right, you're hitting .188, that needs to go up, obviously. But a .338 OBP, it's a pretty damn nice ratio there. And if Wells can get back to being, which I don't want to say get back to being, it's so early, like he very well still could end up being this, but a 20-homer bat with an OBP of .338, now we're really talking. And his defense, like last year, he was a 20-homer bat, but I believe his OBP was, I'm almost positive, under 300, whatever it wasn't this high. This is where we could be talking long-term, and by long-term, I mean come season's end, give me 20 homers still out of Wells, but with this OBP, his defense, that's where we get to, we could see a 4-war catcher at some point, which I'm always holding out hope that we're finally get the breakout from Austin Wells. Hey, he's hitting the ball a little bit better lately, and the OBP is something to celebrate. J.C. Ascara, as we mentioned, started 2 out of 3 games in Houston. He played well, 3 for 9 with an RBI. Let's talk a little Jazz, and then we'll get to Caballero, because Caballero will get us into the next topic with Volpe, of course. But, yo, I think the most exciting part of this whole series against Houston was what Jazz did. 5 for 12, homer, 5 ribs, 2 walks, and a stolen base. Of course, I'm showing the video here from his homer in Boston. We weren't live following this series. I had my wedding this weekend, but, yo, we're locked and loaded now. Anyways, Jazz, first couple of homers of the year, and he is really swinging the bat well right now. And, there's a funny comment on Instagram when I posted one of his homers. They were just like, you know, I mean, it is getting warmer outside. And yeah, like Jazz, whether you want him saying it or not, he was often acknowledging that he doesn't perform well in cold weather, often gets off to a slow start, which is true. Whatever the reason may be, he's hitting the ball well now. And this is over like a good week sample size. And, you know, his stats still aren't like amazing on the season. But he is now above 200. He's at a .216 average. OBP is over 300 as well. He's also been playing some really good defense at second base, which is always the case with Jazz. Jazz, I say this all the time, like that's a great play right there. When it's a play that doesn't require any thinking, or Jazz doesn't have time to think, he's the best defensive second baseman in baseball because he's insanely talented, insanely talented. His defense remains really good at second base. Just sometimes, you know, there's some mental mistakes. Fortunately, we haven't been seeing too much of that lately. And by the way, with this team overall, now we're a month into the season now. It's April 27th. We've been going for over a month. While not perfect, unless you want to compare it to the rest of the American League, which is a very prevalent part of this conversation with this team and everything. Who's your competition? But anyways, you got to admit, I'm not just being a shill here. The defense, the fundamentals is much improved in years past. It's the other teams now making the mental mistakes. It's the other teams now that are giving you an extra out. And the Yankees have taken advantage of those extra outs. On the defensive side of things, from our perspective, though, we're playing pretty damn well. Pretty damn well. And it's very refreshing. This is something I've talked about going back to last year's trade deadline. You know, it was a common discussion that the fundamentals were very lacking, and that was absolutely correct. But as the year went on, last year you noticed it started to get cleaned up a little bit. And, you know, bringing in Caballero, that helped a lot. And that will play a role in our conversation coming up next with Volpe and Caballero, shortstop. The defense of the middle has been superb. You got McMahon at third base. That was a huge part, of course. Rice has been much improved at first base. Our outfield, I mean, this is what I'm always saying. It's like, I know I can be shill-like at times. I don't deny that. But forget words. Look around the diamond. We have one of the best defensive catchers in baseball in Austin Wells. Our weakest link defensively is Ben Rice at first base. And I don't know about you, I have had really no issue with the way his glove has looked over there. I think he's looked much improved. Talked about Caballero, Jazz, the defense in the middle, McMahon at third, the outfield, Grisham in center. Say what you will about his bat if you want to go that way, which he's got to pick it up a little bit, but still, he is walking. He's, you know, hitting some big homers here and there. I'm not worried about Grisham. Say what you will, though, his defense in center field is great. Bellinger in left leads all left fielders in baseball in defensive runs saved and not so of average. And we know about Judge in right. You go around the diamond, it's not just me throwing words out there. Like, this is a very, very, very strong defensive Yankee team, and it's night and day compared to years past. Anyways, let's get back to the overall conversation at hand. So Jazz, 5-for-12 in the series against Houston. Second home of the year, average now up to 216, OBP over 300. Excuse me. All right, let's get into the meats and potatoes here because this is going to be the theme of this week. So Jose Caballero, another good series for him. He goes 5-for-12, two homers against the Astros with three RBIs. He's been great. He has been absolutely terrific. Of course, the return of Anthony Volpe is soon to be upon us. 8 games at rehab, hitting well, 308, OBP of 333. Had his first homer the other day, which, listen, I see that swing. And let's all be fair here. I know we're not huge Volpe people. I'm more, you know, optimistic about it than some are, but I get it. The swing does look different. It looks more composed. It looks more level. It looks more like, I don't know, through to the ball, whatever you want to say. I'm not a hitting coach, but it definitely looks like adjustments have been made. That's exciting. Now, some highlights have been going around of him playing defense that has looked a little bit shaky, and I think we just got to be completely blunt and straightforward here. I'm not going to go on a rant about how Caballero needs to be the shortstop, because that's not going to happen. Volpe will return, likely on Friday, and he will be the everyday guy at shortstop right away. Come his return, come activation. Anthony Volpe, you are our shortstop. And that's what the Yankees want to do. They want to have Caballero be the 10th man on the bench. With all that said, though, I believe this is the most pressure Volpe has had on him in his entire career. Because now there's finally, as we said often in spring training, he's got competition. He really, really has competition. Not just, oh, the name Oswald Peraza exists. Nobody cared. Jose Caballero, and let's talk about him really quick, because this is a very, it's fascinating almost, it really is, because what Caballero is now doing, this recent hot stretch, has him back to numbers that are, make this conversation very serious between the two. There's competition with him now at 271, average-wise, OPS on the season, 731, WRC plus of 104, he has 11 stolen bases. Now, he definitely serves this team very strongly off the bench. And just because he's not the starting shortstop when Volpe returns doesn't mean he's not going to get a lot of run. You know, spots start at second base, spots start at third base. He can play the outfield. I mean, he's a true utility bat and or utility player. And his speed off the bench, like, put it like this. If Volpe can be good as in a 700 OPS, and the defense is fine slash strong, maybe even elite like 2024, this team will be better because Kabir off the bench, that gives us something, even just this on its own, that is significantly improved. We don't have speed on the bench right now. Now, with Jason up, he had some speed, but he's going to be DHing. When Volpe returns, Kabir on the bench, like, that's an improvement as long as Volpe's decent. And here's my point here is he's got to get out of the gate quick. A lot of pressure on Volpe to perform right away, because with what Caballero is doing, it's loud already right now. I think Volpe, come game one, come game two, within the first week, he's got to be hitting the ball well. The defense, that can't even be, that's non-negotiable. He has to feel the ball at shortstop, which we've seen to be a really good defender. He truly was elite in 2024. He's got to get out of the gate quick and be hitting. And that goes for the fans. And I also wonder, this is more of a question, the fans, you know, are going to be on him right away, myself included, which, you know, I'm a Volpe supporter. He's been disappointing, but, like, I'm not one of those people that says, like, oh, this guy's bad, F him. If a player doesn't show effort, all right, then I'll go in. If a player suggests an alternate uniform, all right, then I'll go in. Nah, I'm just kidding. Like, stuff like that is his own thing. But I know Volpe's trying. I know he's trying to do well. So, like, I'll criticize him, but I'm never like, F Volpe, F blah, 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 blah. The question, though, I wonder is how quick is his leash, not with the fans, because that will be the second he goes 0-1 in his first game back, it's going to be start Caballero, which I get. Caballero has been great. And the defense of the middle might be the most intriguing part of all this, because he's looked really good at shortstop, and him and Jassy have been a perfect pairing. I wonder what the Yankees' leash is with Anthony Volpe. The fans is one thing, and ultimately that doesn't matter, but say it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks and Volpe's hitting sub-200. Or 2 weeks and Volpe is having rough at-bats and the defense isn't looking great. How long will it take before the Yankees not pull it out from under him and say, Volpe, you're not a starting shortstop anymore, but like slowly start to trickle it in where Caballero's getting another start and another start at short. Before you know it, he's starting 3 out of the 7 days, 4 out of 7 days. Next thing you know, it's October and Volpe's on the bench, Caballero's not. I don't think that's likely because the Yankees are fans of Volpe. They believe in Volpe. And to a degree, I still do as well. I mean, listen, forever in his career, it will be associated with him that he was at one point the number 5 prospect in all of baseball, and he was a legit blue chip, top of the line kid coming up. And I apply that logic to Rosario. Rosario has an OPS over 800 with us right now. So with that success, anytime it's a first round pick or whatever it may be, a highly touted prospect, when they're 30, like Rosario is right now, you can kind of be a little more optimistic when they have a good week or a good 2 weeks, or in this case, a pretty good damn season so far for Rosario. It's like, you know what? Maybe he was a late bloomer. He does have a lot of potential. Like, this guy used to be raved about. In the case of Volpe, like, I can fall into that logic of this dude was number 5 prospect in all of baseball. Like, year 4, like, this could be the time where he takes that next step, similar to how, like, Dansby Swanson did. I'm not predicting that, but I'm saying I am at least more open to the possibility of that happening. Not an 800 OPS bat, but can he get to a 700 OPS with good defense at short? I think that is possible, not certain, not even maybe likely, but it's possible. And I have to mention that because if he can be that, a 700 OPS with reputable defense at shortstop, then the Yankees will be a better team with Caballero off the bench and playing more of that utility role because you get your speed, you have the option of, well, think about it like this too, going back to the bench conversation. I don't think the Yankees want to lose Randall Grichuk, but what they could do is, if you want to keep Jason up and you're not going to stress the losing Grichuk thing, Caballero can play the outfield. You could actually have him play the outfield on days you're facing a left-hander, and that would also involve him playing left field probably, and then you do Bellinger in center. But instead of Grisham out, Grichuk in against a southpaw, it could be Caballero in for Grisham against a southpaw. That's just a random thought, but the pressure's on Volpe, and I want to pull up this graphic right here because really for one particular reason, but, you know, let's do a comparison between the two. Career with the Yankees. Now, much larger sample size for Anthony Volpe. Jose Caballero is at a 119 WRC plus in 67 career games with the Yankees. Volpe's at an 85 in 472. To be completely fair here, if you were to, like, not extrapolate this, because that wouldn't make sense, but truly, like, let's see if we could see this out in the future. 472 games played for Caballero. He's not going to be at a 119 WRC+. At least you figure he won't be. But real quick, let me go through these stats for those that are audio only. Career stats with the Yankees. Volpe's a 212 hitter. Caballero's a 270. OBP in his career. Anthony Volpe, 272. Caballero, 340. Again, sample size of 67 games for Caballero, 472 for Volpe. WRC plus, 85, 15% worse than a league average hitter for Volpe. Caballero, 119 WRC plus, 19% better than a league average hitter. The most interesting stat here is war per 150 games. Anthony Volpe in his Yankee career, 2.7 war per 150 games. That's his average. And we've seen him get up to like the four range. 2024, again, I can't stress this enough. He truly was an elite defensive shortstop. And we've seen stretches with Volpe too. That's why you really got to be fair here with this sample size. Like, I could pick out 67 games of Volpe's career where he was probably around, you know, an above league average hitter. Early 2024, he got off to a good start. Last year even as well before the shoulder injury. Who knows if that was correlated, the fall off because of that, whatever. Anyways, war per 150, Volpe 2.7 with the Yankees. Caballero, 5 war. Forget Volpe for a second, just to celebrate Caballero. I mean, this is pretty incredible. 67 games, while that is not a full season sample size, obviously, just to put it simply, though, that is not a small sample size. Not at a ridiculously small sample size. 270 hitter Caballeros, a 340 OBP, a 119 WRC+, and he's been a 5 war player. That war per 150, that's, you take his production and like extrapolate over if it were to be 150 games played, that's where you get that number. A 5 war shortstop Caballero has been. And he's playing really well, man. And his, not that I don't like to get into the energy side of things, because like chemistry is a big part of it, and like that plays a role in the conversation about Rosario too. But man, like whatever angle you want to take it, whether it's, oh, he's actually a threat in the box and he obviously makes things happen on the base paths, or just he fits the billing of what I think a shortstop should be. This isn't even a question. Jeter was like this despite, you know, popular belief that he just was a terrible shortstop. You hit a ground ball to your shortstop, you should be able to close your eyes. And lately I've been feeling that way with Caballero. It's been smooth. It's been like butter. Volpe, more often than not, lately, that has not been the case. But the main thing here is the offensive production. Because it's a non-starter with the shortstop position and the defense being good. Like, I'm not even going to actually say it anymore about Volpe's defense has to be good, because, like, it has to be. Like, your shortstop has to play good defense. Like, end of story. So, like, with that being kind of like a prerequisite here, if Volpe's defense is going to be good, let's just say, Caballero, you know, has been good, I need a 700 OPS from Anthony Volpe. Give me a 700 OPS, and this will be an improved team with him starting at shortstop. That remains to be seen if he'll actually be able to do that. But we need the defense to be good. And need him to hit a little bit. And he's got to get out of the gate quick. He's got to get out of the gate quick. Because if he doesn't, man, oh, it's going to be loud. Like, not even so much for somebody like me, because I'm a shill, I know. And I'm easier on Yankee players than some of you guys are, but I just wonder with the Yankees, like, how long would his leash be if he's hitting 200 for the first, like, 2 months? If it comes to even Memorial Day a month from now, a month of him being back and he's hitting around 200, just not looking good, looking like 2025 Anthony Volpe, what happens then? It is a weird thing in my head where, like, I try to be fair, and I'm thinking about the shoulder injury last year, which you got to figure a torn labrum has an impact on how he's hitting, but also it's like we've seen Volpe be bad offensively with a bump shoulder and without a bump shoulder. We've also seen glimpses of him looking good. And again, the swing down in the rehab games looks adjusted. And he's hitting 308 in 8 rehab games. Like, he's looked good. And he says he feels great. It's very much spring training-esque conversation with Volpe where it's like, oh, I feel great, never felt better, which, like, I believe. Brother had a torn labrum last year. Like, I'm sure he does feel pretty damn good. But, yeah, I'm excited for Volpe's return. I think it's fascinating. I really, really do. Because the Yankees will have a decision to make here. Not in the near future. And to answer my own question, like, Memorial Day, if Volpe's hitting 200, I think he still gets run at shortstop. But what's exciting no matter what is this team is going to make the playoffs. This team will have baseball in October. And if Volpe's not performing by then, like, we have an alternative option now. And that alternative option is not, you know, in past years where the Yankees were starting Oswaldo Cabrera against the Astros at short, or Oswald Peraza here, or IKF, like, not, if Volpe's not the guy, it's Jose Caballero. And Jose Caballero right now is a 5-war player in his Yankee career over a full season. So I'm nervous about it, too. Like, my dad was even saying that. He's like, man, like, they can't take Volpe, Caballero. And I'm like, I agree, but they are. So kind of just got to accept that and then think what's going to come if there's not success from Volpe. And that's the big question here is not how we're going to react, because we know the clock is going to be ticking on Volpe right away. And again, I think this is more pressure than when he debuted, more pressure going into any postseason. Like, because now he's got somebody breathing down his neck in Caballero. And it's interesting, man. Caballero really started going off when he saw... Remember, Volpe for the first time was in the dugout with the Yanks, first time all year in Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago. And that's when Caballero really started to go off. Excuse me. Anyways, so yeah, Volpe's set to be activated on Friday. Not official, but that is the expectation. Get through the Texas series, off day on Thursday, and then Friday we're back home against the Orioles. In all likelihood, 2026 season debut will be Friday night at the stadium for Anthony Volpe. Alrighty, let's move on to this. So much news happened, dude. This is freaking insane. So after yesterday's game, which I'm sure you've all seen by now, Luis Gil optioned down to Triple A. Now, this, of course, came after a really bad start against Houston on Sunday, where he allowed 6 earned runs in 4 innings pitched. And it's less so much about the line. I mean, this applies to the Boston start as well, which the Boston start, he did look good, but he's not the same guy as he was in 2024, where he was getting a lot of swing and miss on the fastball, was electric with just about every pitch he threw, even though not all of them were like elite pitches at the time. But even like the slider, the changeup, played so much better in 2024 because the fastball was so good. And we know the velo is down. In 2024, he averaged 96.6 on the fastball. This year, 94.8. And you look at yesterday, he got just 3 whiffs, 3 swings and misses on 34 swings total. And by the way, those 3 whiffs, none of them came on the fastball. So he's been a totally different pitcher. And it's a shame, too. I mean, like the K per 9, even like, it's not the same guy. A 4.9 K per 9 for Luis Gil. He's been giving up the long. It's not been good, man. He says it's frustrating. He goes, you find yourself in a bad slump regarding that, but at the same time, it's part of the game. I know that. God willing, I'm going to get through this. I love Luis Gil. He follows Yanks Ave on Instagram. He's somebody that, like, when there was a lot of rumors about the Yankees not trying to trade him per se, but last year when they were looking to acquire Kyle Tucker from the Astros when he was, you know, going into his walk year, 1 year deal, or 1 year left, the Yankees, I know this for a fact, were willing to trade Luis Gil in that deal. And the Astros were actually willing to accept that, but Jim Crane was not going to send Kyle Tucker to the Astros, and that fell apart. He ended up going to the Cubs. Max Maness, my boy, had a great tweet yesterday. I do think it's something we'll regret, and maybe already are, not capitalizing on his value when we had it. This dude won Rookie of the Year in 2024. He was, at times, electric. And you go back and watch those 2024 outings, it really is a different guy. Just like watching the fastball, even if you were comparing 96 and 96, even though the velo was much better back then, like, still though, like, velo aside, the spin on the fastball, the life on the fastball, it's a totally different story these days with Luis Gil. And it's a shame. Not a death sentence by any means. I mean, he's probably at some point going to be back up here. But, well, let's get into that conversation. The Yankees don't need a fifth starter until May 5th. So, and I believe that will be against the Rangers, because we have this 3 against the Rangers on the road, off day on Thursday, back home Friday for 3 against Baltimore. And then I believe after that, we play the Rangers again at home. So we'll have 6 games against the Rangers in like a week. That Rangers series is when the Yankees will need a fifth starter again. Now, we don't know if Carlos Rodon will be back by then. Either he is, and it might be on like a shorter pitch count, like not fully built back up, but they could go that route where come May 5th, around that time where they do need a fifth starter, you can then just activate Rodon and there you go. Or you could, actually, no, you couldn't really call up Luis Gil then because there's a 15-day window. So I was about to say that as the other option. Luis Gil can make another start, which I'm sure at some point this year, no matter what, we'll see another start for Luis Gil. But barring some finagling, which, you know, there's ways you could do this, and a lot of it would be like if they IL'd somebody or whatever, maybe it could work out. But Luis Gil, from my understanding, would not be able to be back up come May 5th because you need to have 15 days in between. But they could finagle that if they wanted to. Or if Rodon's not back and if it's not Luis Gil, do the Yankees give a look to Elmer Rodriguez, who's off to a really good start in AAA? They're one of their top pitching prospects right now, as we know. So ultimately, this comes down to the Yankees didn't need a fifth starter until May 5th. But also, Luis Gil has been very disappointing. You know, in 4 starts this year, 1-2, 6.05 ERA, just 9 strikeouts and 19 and a third innings pitched. I mean, that's not Luis Gil. And anyways, with the whole Kyle Tucker thing that I was mentioning, when he was in... when the Yankees were in talks about trading him, Luis Gil was obviously aware of it. I was well aware of it. And you know, it was being covered, and everybody knew that if this deal were to get done, it means Luis Gil to Houston. And not like a complete back and forth, but like that morning I texted him, like, even though, to be honest, like, I did want to send Luis Gil to Houston for Kyle Tucker, but I was saying, like, it's not going to happen. Like, you're a Yankee for life, blah, blah, blah. And when the trade went down and he wasn't going to be sent to Houston, Luis Gil, he messaged back on Yanks Ave, and he said, Yankee for life, with 3 blue heart emojis. And, like, I'm a sucker for that shit, yo. Like, if you like being a Yankee, like, and you take pride in it, and just DMing me back on Instagram, too, and following Yanks Ave, like, I root for Luis Gil is kind of what I'm getting at here. So, not happy about this, but it is what it is. Like, Luis Gil is just not the same guy that he used to be. Doesn't mean he can't get back to that. And I don't like looking at the numbers from last year. This people are saying, well, since the last calendar year, Luis Gil's been one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Just give me this year. That applies to this year. Last year, I'm not going to use that because he was coming back from a lat strain. So your point is still valid that Luis Gil is one of the least effective starters in baseball right now, but like, I'm not putting last year at a reason why. He was coming off a lat strain. So like, just show me this year, and if you show me this year, you prove your point. Luis Gil has been ineffective, and the Yankees have more options than him. So especially come Rodon's return, we know Cole will be coming back probably end of May as well. So yeah, it's just a shame. And long term, I mean, people will say like, well, Luis Gil at this point, you know, definitely not starting in October. We knew that, but like the bullpen, I don't think Luis Gil is going to the bullpen either. I don't think Luis Gil is going to be in the postseason roster. So that's kind of just where we're at right now. He's going to be on the team next year. It's not going to be like a non-tender situation unless he really looks bad. But for now, this is what it is. Like Luis Gil, it's a fall from a very high point, which was the rookie of the year. And it wasn't just the first half of that season. Like Luis Gil's second half of 2024, like I know he struggled to begin the second half of that season, but like he did figure it out. And like he did have still that electric stuff down the stretch. And even against Cleveland in the playoffs, like he was pretty decent. Like, I don't know. It's just a shame. But it was the obvious move. The obvious move to send him down. And I wonder if, what if Luis Gil went six shutout against Houston yesterday? Because the Yankees don't need a fifth starter until May 5th. Would this be happening anyway? I don't know. But that's the news. Luis Gil optioned down to AAA. Again, Yanks won't need a fifth starter until May 5th. And that could just be when they activate Rodon off the IL. So a lot of things from today. Of course, no official word yet on Giancarlo Stanton. But you figure he's going to the IL. Jason is called up. Don't know how long he'll be up here, but you figure in the meantime, he'll be starting at DH every day against the Rangers, which that three-game set begins tonight, which I had the pitching matchups there on the bottom, but or it was going across the bottom. Let me just go through this really quick. 8 o'clock start time for tonight's game. Game one for Texas will be Jack Leiter. And then for the Yankees tonight, is it Fried? Okay, so yeah, Jack Leiter for Texas tonight, Max Fried for the Yankees, 8 o'clock, 8:05 first pitch. Tuesday will be another 8 o'clock first pitch. Jacob DeGrom versus Cam Schlittler. That will be awesome. That's game two. That's going to be freaking awesome. And then game three, 2:35 series finale. Nathan Eovaldi versus Will Warren. So pretty damn good slate of pitching in this three-game set between the Yankees and the Rangers. We'll be live for every single one of those games on this channel. See, that's the thing that's nice about putting it over here. Like, I don't have to play musical chairs. Like, well, see you guys on this channel, and then later on for the watch party, we'll be on that channel. See you guys then. Like, now it's just all back to one, which seems obvious, but again, initially it was, I was going to put all my live streams on a separate channel, but then we kept doing the watch parties in the main, so now it just makes sense to have the Morning Yankee Show here on this channel as well. And this channel is Yankees Avenue. Subscribe if you are new. Drop a like in the stream if you could. That really does help out a lot. We're also available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, all that. And, yeah, crazy week in baseball, man. Alex Cora was fired. That was crazy. Yanks are playing really well, though. Really, really well. And by the way, little standings update. We're 18-10 now, which is very nice. The Rays are 16-11. Still not too worried about them long-term, although you never look forward to playing them. They're 16-11, a game and a half back of us for first place. The Orioles, 13-15, 5 back. Blue Jays, 12-15, 5.5 back. The Red Sox, 11-17, 7 back. Excited for the Orioles series next week. Very excited for that. That'll be at home, and we'll see where they're at. But no matter what, I mean, they're within striking distance, even though they're below 500. It's so early. But, yeah, Yanks are in first place, playing really, really good baseball lately. And I think we're seeing this team run into form, at least for what they are right now. And I can't help but wonder, what's the final form going to look like, chat? Come the trade deadline, come Rodon's return, come Cole's return, come a potential 700 OPS Anthony Volpe, which if he gives us that, if he gives us that with good defense, we will be a better team. Because Cobb off the bench is only a bad thing if you're regressing at shortstop. And if Volpe can play his position well and hit a little bit, I'm saying a 700 OPS, which would be an improvement over what he's been in his career. But if you give me that, Cobb off the bench, we will be a better team. That remains to be seen. Then we'll talk about that more on, we'll be live on Thursday morning, if not before then. But at the very least, at the latest Thursday morning, which will be an off day, and then we'll probably be live Friday as well to preview the Baltimore series. And then we'll do more Volpe talk then and discuss everything else. But yeah, game one, Yankees-Rangers tonight, Max Fried versus Jack Leiter. 8 o'clock, 8:05 first pitch. We'll be live on the main channel, this channel, at around 8 o'clock, 7:50 or so for the watch party. Everybody have a fantastic start to your week. It's a beautiful Monday. The sun is shining. And yeah, you got a high of 62 degrees today, and traffic is light. So, no, traffic probably isn't light, but that's all I got for this one. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. And I'll see you later tonight for Yankees-Rangers watch party starting around 8 o'clock. And yeah, in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day, and let's go Yanks.